People living abroad on pensions that have been frozen by the British government have told this programme they're taking steps to claim the money back. There are more than 100 countries where your state pension will be frozen at the level it was when you left the UK. The people affected are known as frozen pensioners. Harry Kretschmer has been looking into this. Firstly, Harry, what does it mean to be a frozen pensioner?
Well, Peter, if you decide to retire to one of around 100 countries, including Canada and Australia, your pension will stay the same as the day you left the UK, frozen in time. More than 500,000 Brits are thought to be affected. And while it might mean very little if you move abroad today, in the years ahead, it can really add up. Bernard Jackson is one of those who's been affected. He retired to Canada, but has now returned to the UK.
Nobody ever told me when I was making all the applications to go and live in Canada that my British pension would be frozen. When I went to Canada, my British pension was £48 a week. And when I left 2 years ago, it was still £48 a week. And my wife had died, and we worked out I'd lost $28,000 for my wife, but I must have lost $100,000, and it made it difficult. You couldn't do what you wanted. You had to watch the money. People are continually coming back from Canada because a lot of them, they can't manage. It's a very, very great injustice, and it's one that the British governments should be ashamed of.
Well, that was Bernard Jackson, but this isn't a new issue, is it? How did it come about?
It's not a new issue, no. It's been a problem for decades, and no one seems to know exactly how it started. But it seems that governments of both political colours decided long ago that they would only increase expats' pensions in line with inflation if those other countries did the same for their citizens here. And due to the cost of changing it now, they're holding the line.
And now some people are trying to fight back.
Yes, Sir Richard Branson recently wrote describing frozen pensions as very unfair in a world that's getting more and more expensive. He is himself a frozen pensioner, although he doesn't claim it. And now the International Consortium of British Pensioners, which campaigns about frozen pensions, is working on a series of campaigns to raise the profile of the issue. Its chair is John Duffy.
We decided that one of the things we would do is issue a summons against the Chancellor of the Exchequer for failing to pay my pension increases since 2014. After about three or four attempts at getting it issued, I finally issued it on the Department of Work and Pensions. I'm actually trying to contact as many people around the world as possible who would be inclined to sign the petition, because you need 100,000 signatures in order to get a debate in Parliament.
That's John Duffy. And Harry, I gather some people think Brexit could raise the profile of this issue further.
Yes, if Britain crashes out of the EU without a deal, it is possible that British pensioners in EU countries could stop getting uprated pensions too. That is if agreements with those countries break down. And that would certainly turn up the heat on this issue.
And any word from the government?
Well, for now, at least they're holding the line. The Department for Work and Pensions has told us the government has a very clear position, which has remained consistent for around 70 years. The UK state pension is payable worldwide, but is only uprated abroad where we have a legal requirement to do so or a reciprocal agreement is in place.
Harry Kretschmer, thanks very much indeed. Well, the Conservative MP Sir Roger Gale is the chair of the all-party parliamentary group on frozen pensions. I've been talking to him earlier. I began by asking him why he'd decided to get involved in this issue.
It is an absolute nonsense that a pensioner living, as Mr Jackson was at one stage in Canada, on one side of the Niagara Falls, has a frozen pension, in his case frozen at 48 quid a week, whereas a pensioner living in the United States, 200 yards across the river on the other side, is getting a fully uprated British pension because we have a reciprocal arrangement with the United States, but not with Canada or indeed Australia or New Zealand or many of the West Indies.
Now, Tom MacPhail is head of pensions research at Hargreaves Lansdown. He says that while it can seem very unfair, as you've just described it, there are some strong arguments on the other side too.
It's interesting when you look at it from the government's perspective. It would now be quite expensive to reintroduce the uprating. They estimate hundreds of millions of pounds of additional costs on the DWP. They also argue different countries around the world will have their own inflation, so why should we use that measure for people who are not living in this country? And the final argument they tend to use is that the money is more effectively spent if it is channeled into the UK economy. And these pensioners, by definition, are no longer living in the UK. So why would we want to divert resources overseas if we don't have to?
Tom McPhail. So, Roger, what's your reaction to that, particularly about the cost of this policy?
Yes, it would be very expensive to uprate all pensions for overseas expat pensioners now to today's rates. The compromise has to be, I think, that we start from today and say we will from today uprate all pensions at today's prices. So if a pensioner is, like Mr. Jackson was, receiving £48, he will have his pension uprated by inflation at £48, not at £150 or whatever today's rate is.
Tom McPhail also made the point to us that pensions, it turns out, aren't a legal entitlement. They're actually classed as welfare, and the government does have a right to modify it. And that's one of the reasons legal challenges have failed in the past.
That is absolutely true. But there is a moral case, and we are talking about a lot of elderly people. And there's also a practical case, which is that, as in the case of Bernard Jackson, there are now very many elderly people who have been living abroad, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, who are finding it necessary to return to the United Kingdom, where, of course, they become, and I hesitate to use the phrase, but it is the phrase that's used, a burden upon the state, because they can't afford and they're not being properly funded in the countries that they are currently resident.
Could Brexit also raise this issue up the agenda? Because if reciprocal agreements come to be reconsidered, that may happen, may it not?
That is a very hairy issue indeed. Unless there is post-Brexit either a blanket agreement for all 27 member states to uprate pensions in the way that we would then uprate pensions, then there has to be 27 bilateral agreements. Or it kicks the bottom out of the government's argument, which is we only pay where there is a reciprocal agreement.
Some people might argue that in these tough financial times, ultimately it's a choice to retire abroad. Is it too much of an assumption to suggest that many of those people who have done that will have extra income? They're not the poorest people in society.
There is a fond belief that all expats living in retirement overseas are stinking rich and sitting on verandas in the sunset drinking gin and tonic. That, in many cases, is sadly very, very far from the truth indeed. There are a significant number of people across the globe, former United Kingdom residents, but still British citizens, living in what can best be described as genteel poverty. I find that unacceptable.
So Roger Gale, chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Frozen Pensions.